My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's your process now to figure out, you know, here is the final 53?
Yeah, it's honestly one that's been ongoing, you know, for a long time. And Adam and I spent a lot of time together going through the roster, digging in and finding it. In fact, he was, you know, watching a whole bunch today, you know, a film. And that's this time of year, what goes on for the initial 53. What does that look like? Who's there? It's a puzzle, you know, to put together. But we'll spend a bunch more time here over the next couple days and just make sure we can find the right fit for the team.
Dan Quinn, yesterday, there's a follow-up question that I want you to hear in a moment to that. Busy time of year. This from Jim. Jim writes, so you're saying no chance Kaz Allen and Jamison Crowder make the team simultaneously? Yeah, I think so. I think if Kaz Allen's kept as another running back, he would be the primary punt returner and one of the two kickoff returners. I think that would spell the end for Jamison Crowder. I think so. I mean, where is the opportunity? Right now, at wide receiver, it's McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, Zacchaeus, and McCaffrey. They're givens, right? They should be the givens. And then you wonder about, by the way, Tinsley, Bryant after last night, and Crowder. Now, the running back situation, because Kaz Allen's worked at running back, if you end up keeping him, does he count as a running back or a wide receiver? I think he counts as a running back. I mean, who cares, really? But it's Robinson Jr., Eckler. I think Wiley's got a chance. I do. And I think his chances are better than Rodriguez's. But I didn't think Rodriguez, you know, played that poorly last night. I actually thought he showed some ability, certainly as a pass catcher. I've always liked him as a runner. I just don't know if he's the kind of fit they want as much as maybe Wiley is. But, yeah, I think, Jim, Kaz Allen on the final roster means Jamison Crowder gone. And remember, Jamison Crowder being on the week one roster guarantees his contract for the season. It doesn't mean that they can't try to bring him back. All right. So, Dan Quinn, a couple of things last night after the game that I wanted to play for you, including just the process that they're in right now to try to drill down to the 53-man roster. Nikki Javala followed up Sam Fortier's question with just, you know, looking at what happens with the waiver wire tomorrow. And, you know, there are other aspects here, you know, veterans that you can't really sign for week one if you don't think you're going to have them on your roster the entire season or you're not sure, because a week one 4-year plus accrued means their salary's guaranteed. That's, you know, some of the stuff that you see through this first, you know, week of the season. But you'll hear his answer right here.
I mean, along those lines, how do you factor in the other options down the road, like waiver wire, guys that may be dealing with nicks or injuries and stuff like that?
I think that's a really fair question, Nikki, and that's why I said the initial 53, And as you know, there's probably a little bit of fluidness even past the opening game as roster decisions get done with veterans and those types of things. So that's what you have to look at for the big picture. We certainly don't want to be in this position from a claiming order again, but if you have it and there's opportunities that you need to use, then, you know, that's Adam and his staff will dig in hard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he talks about the veteran, you know, being on the roster, guaranteed contract. That's, you know, in play here in week one. The initial 53 is not probably going to be what the 53 looks like maybe in a couple of weeks. And obviously, it's a dynamic situation year-long anyway because of injuries. And then, you know, he emphasizes here, and it's true, you don't want to be number two in the order of being able to claim. But if you are, you should leverage that opportunity. You're going to have essentially second dibs on any of these players that are waiver wire eligible. And so there could be a chance to upgrade the roster. I was also thinking just about in recent years, I think every fan base does this. I'm not saying that we're the only fan base that does this. We're not. Every fan base. Also, those that get into this time of year, you know, the cut down and who should be good on the roster and who shouldn't. And you say, well, you can't lose that guy because that guy will be picked up in a minute. In recent years, not a lot of players released from here have been picked up when we've thought a lot of positions were super competitive and there were opportunities. And that goes for a lot of teams, especially a lot of the bad teams, you know, typically aren't going to have a lot of players picked up. So, you know, by the way, sometimes that doesn't mean that the player stinks or the player can't do it. A lot of times it's just other teams haven't spent the last 3 months, you know, off season and then training camp with that player. They don't know the player as well. And the players they have, they know better. And by the way, the players they have know the system and are more prepared right now than bringing in another player that may be slightly more talented than the player they had. All right, Dan Quinn was asked about two players in particular. Jamin Davis is clearly a player right now that I think we have thought all offseason and even for the better part of training camp is a player that is on the bubble, making the roster. By the way, before he answered this question, he also said that basically anybody that didn't play in the preseason game last night, unless they're injured, it's a fair assumption that they're on the final roster. Okay, so anybody that wasn't, you know, categorized as injured that didn't play last night is on the final roster. So anybody thinking like a guy like Emmanuel Forbes was in trouble, no, he's not. He's on the final roster. But Ben asked another question about Jamin Davis with respect to the players that played last night, and Davis did play last night. Here's what Dan Quinn said.
And for Jamin Davis, obviously it's been a conversation all summer. I don't know what you were able to see of him today, but now that you're here, you got to make some calls. What do you kind of view his situation?
Yeah, I've been super impressed by him. I think we had talked about him last week, just his willingness to try something new, you know, that he hadn't been doing a lot. And I really thought he would be a good blitzer, you know. So early on in the spring, we featured him at Summit linebacker there. And then when I really felt the speed, we want as many fast and long athletes out on the edge as we can, and I thought he had that trait. And so we've been working hard with him at that space. At that position, man, you need real gas to go, and you need a lot of them. And so I thought this is a player that's really worth the time to put it in to get there. And so when you're new in a new position, it takes some time to grow into it. But, man, have I been impressed by his work ethic. He's covering kicks, doing everything the team's asked of him. So I thought he had a really good off season. Even with some changing of positions. We'll flex him some at backer as well, but he's really starting to come on as a D-end.
I thought that last part of the answer, like if you're looking for a tell on whether or not Jamin Davis is going to make the team, when he says even with some changing of positions, we'll flex him, as in we will flex him, some at backer as well. That is, I think, based on my public school education, future tense. So that is a bit of an indication that he is going to be flexed some at linebacker as well in the future. Wouldn't that say that in Dan Quinn's mind, Jamin Davis is making the team. And then he said, you know, and he's really starting to come on as a defensive end. So I think Jamin Davis is making the final 53-man roster. I'm actually kind of excited to see what he can turn into because he is a freakish athlete. He can really run. And I love the fact that all throughout the offseason and throughout this training camp, they've been very consistent, everybody that's talked about him, that he's come in with the best of attitudes, worked hard, you know, the really impressed with his work ethic, his willingness to do whatever it takes, including covering kicks. That's a guy that maybe hasn't gotten it in the past, that maybe with some of the issues he's had off the field, is taking a step towards maturity. You want to see that. You want to root for that in young people. I do anyway. I hope that Jamin Davis gets this opportunity. I'd like to see his speed and to see what he could become as a pass rusher. But I think that that last line does indicate he's going to make the team. And then lastly from Dan Quinn, Martavis Bryant, who was picked up, we've seen this, you know, receiver room and, you know, change, obviously, with the trade of Jahan Dotson last week, which, by the way, Jahan Dotson held a presser in Philly. I watched that. It was, I didn't think there was anything to it. I would have typically had said, Denton, pull this soundbite, pull that soundbite. Denton, you watched it. I didn't think there was anything worth pulling from his presser other than that one line where he says, I look forward to playing Washington twice.
It's not personal until we play each other. That's about it.
Yeah, that was it. It wasn't very exciting. He didn't really give you much on why he thought he was traded. But Martavis Bryant in certainly had a game last night for the final preseason game. This is what Dan Quinn said on what he saw from Martavis Bryant.
And with Martavis, what did you see? What have you seen from him second tonight?
Yeah, I think you feel his size, obviously, but I just felt his competitive nature in this one, John, to learn it. You know, it's not easy to get, you know, jumped down and put in the middle of an offense or a defense and learning it. So for him to come in and spend the time with Bobby Engram, who, if you were somebody to come learn from, he's the one you'd want to pick. And so I was just really proud of him at the end. There was a PI that, you know, went his way, a touchdown at the end. So I was very excited for him.
Okay. So, you know, is Bryant in the running for potentially making this team? I don't know. Right now, again, Terry, Diami, Zacchaeus, and McCaffrey, I think, are the absolute givens at wide receiver. After that, who's 5 and 6? If they keep 6, I don't know. I mean, is Kaz Allen considered a receiver at this point? Consider he's played running back the last two games. I think he would be kept as another running back. Again, it doesn't really matter if he's kept on the team. It's for the purposes of being the punt returner and the kickoff returner. But I mentioned earlier in the show, I mean, it's early and they haven't played a game yet. And I know we're repetitive on that point, but it's important because not playing a game means they haven't really faced adversity. You know, they haven't had a 2 or a 3 game losing skid. Hopefully they don't. And I asked Quinn about this last week when I asked him, you know, how much about your team can you really know before you've played a real game? And he was pretty honest about that. He said, look, the only thing you really know is if you're building the habits necessary to win, but you really don't know until a quarter to as much of half of a season has passed. I think he has, in listening to Quinn throughout this offseason, again, no adversity yet, no real games yet, I think everything that is said about him speaks to a guy with high emotional quotient intelligence. I think he's got high EQ, really, really the ability to see people for what they are, keen observer of the human condition, communicate with those people. And I thought his answer to this question, as I've played a couple of answers to various questions, I think the one that I loved more than any was just his explanation of how hard it is for a young player like Jaden Daniels to come in to a new team and to be competent and confident, instilling the belief in his teammates without crossing that line of being a know-it-all and being arrogant, that it's a tightrope, and he's walked it beautifully. But he said it's because it comes naturally to him. So he was asked, the sideline kind of really got excited for Martavis Bryant's touchdown at the end of the game. And he was asked about this. Here's what he said.
With Martavis scoring that touchdown, the sideline went crazy and they were really excited for him. What did he and his success mean to the team? Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think as a ball player and a teammate, you really have appreciation for somebody's journey, maybe even if you might not have been a part of that. But you recognize it when things don't always go the way you'd hoped it would. And so for someone like him to, you know, stay with it, that shows a lot of grit, where it would have been real easy just to walk away and not be able to do it. I had a chance to coach him some last year, and I was impressed. I didn't forget. And so would he make the most of that opportunity? And so I felt that energy from him. So I think it's probably a combination of he's a good teammate as a new guy here, but there's also some appreciation for a story that shows some real resilience and some fight, which these guys certainly appreciate.
I think that's a really good answer. Look, I don't know if these players are just excited for his journey as much as they are excited for maybe after getting to know him for the last week and a half. But a guy like Dan Quinn can appreciate, you know, as an adult, the journey. And his journey included, for those that don't know, being suspended multiple times, including the last time, indefinitely, to where he last played on a roster in September of 2018 and wasn't reinstated until the end of last season in 2023. If he plays in an NFL regular season game this year, it'll be the first time in 6 years. And what we've learned about what the suspensions were and then what the follow-up suspensions were, they apparently were for weed. You know, something that now the rules are super relaxed on and probably should have been even back then. And so that may be part of the reaction for him as well, to see him not reinstated sooner, perhaps with, the belief that he should have been. He's a big, big target at 6'4.5", 6'5", but he's 32 years old. You know, and he does have 4 years of accrued service. So my guess is that he is released tomorrow as part of the cutdown. Doesn't mean that they can't re-sign him after week one. I had a good friend of mine, text me and say last night, Bryant, you're Aiyuk. No, he's not. I can appreciate what Martavis Bryant was at his best. At his best, he was a guy that caught 50 catches and 8 touchdowns in his career in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. Brandon Aiyuk, in his few years, is a much better player than Martavis Bryant's ever been. Much more complete player than he has ever been. Speaking of Aiyuk, the stories continued over the weekend with several people, especially in the Bay Area, wondering if Washington will get involved again in the Aiyuk conversations. I think at this point, it's a trade deadline thing, best case, for Aiyuk, meaning he's going to be on that roster and he's going to have to play football for the 49ers if he wants to get paid this year. That's my guess. I don't know. Steelers could pull something off. Something could come out of left field on this as well. We'll see. All right. Josh Harris, man, had a lot of things to say about a number of things that I think a lot of you are interested in. Not just the name, which is probably as big of an interest as anything else for a significant majority of you, but lots of interesting information on the stadium in particular. You'll also hear what he said about the Sean Taylor mannequin. If you missed that story from over the weekend, the Taylors and the football team got together and they're going to build something that is, as Josh said, more first class. Yes, it wouldn't take much to be more first class than the last regime. But a lot of what Josh Harris, the new owner, managing owner and partner of the Washington football franchise, said before the game last night. We'll have that for you next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And you've made it pretty clear throughout that the name's not a priority right now. Is there any research that you have being done to see if the name is resonating with fans more than it was initially, or is that something that matters to you at all if it is growing in popularity?
It does matter. I just think that, and certainly, we've been very clear, we can't, for obvious reasons, the old name can't come back. But right now, we're focused on things that unify the team around our football team, right? And unify the city around our football team. And so, you know, the first objective is we got to start winning football games. And we need everyone supporting the team and not things that might, you know, drive people apart. Secondly, obviously, you know, we're trying to find a new home. And again, unifying the city around that is important. And so, and, you know, the name is one of those things that, like, a lot of opinions. But, I mean, I can't say, I've certainly not forgotten about it. I mean, like I said, I grew up here, okay, so I understand it. And, you know, we brought back, we're going to start to do things that bring us back to our heritage, honoring our past. You know, the gold, you saw the gold pants. Those are easy things to do. So we are doing research and we're thinking about it. But, like, right now we're prioritizing the things that we've talked about. And that's kind of the rationale for it.
Grant Paulson asking the question. It was the only one asked about the name. And he gave you kind of an answer that we've heard before. And let me just start with, we're not going to hear specifics, you know, until there is a stadium plan and the path of politicians have been cleared to the side. It does matter, he said. He said, we have done. We are doing research. We are thinking about it. And then he got into the whole prioritizing conversation, which really I agree with those of you that say at this point, come on, Adam Peters has been hired, etc. Coach, you can do more than one thing at a time. This from Robert, he writes, you know, most people I know have gotten over Redskins. What we aren't over is that stupid A name they selected without fan input to replace it. I agree with that, by the way. It's not that I think people have gotten over Redskins. I think most people who have paid attention to this understand why it's not coming back. But Marky44 writes, when Harris says Redskins isn't coming back for obvious reasons, why won't he tell us what the obvious reasons are? Not so obvious to me. I agree that he could be a little bit more specific on that. There, you know, that's not going to impact the stadium situation. That's not going to influence one way or the other certain politicians, although I think there are certain politicians that might actually love for the old name to come back. But, yeah, I think he could do a better job of explaining it. Look, I think the answers, it's not that they're obvious, but I think I know what the answers are. I think a lot of people who have been really involved in following this story know what the reasons are. The reasons start with when you pay a record price for a North American franchise, why would you invite massive controversy when somebody else already did the heavy lifting and got rid of it? It's not necessarily what you want. You know, would it be an absolute financial boon revenue-wise? I believe it would be. I think they understand that, but it would also bring with it a ton of outside, primarily, controversy. Second to that controversy is what probably has the league saying no, and the league's biggest corporate sponsors saying no. We're not fighting that fight anymore. We don't have to anymore because the name is gone. I think those are the obvious reasons. Could he do a better job of saying, look, I shouldn't say that the reasons are obvious because they're not obvious to everybody. So let me explain what they mean. This from Edward. Edward writes, Harris can't possibly think that we're that stupid. Once he hired Peters, Quinn, and fired Jason Wright, he, Magic, and Mark Hine, it's not Mark Hine, it's Mark Hine, should be working on increasing interest in their business, which clearly starts with changing the name. My God, how does he get away with saying they can't do more than one thing at a time? Again, because they can do more than one thing at a time. They have been doing more than one thing at a time. You know, he, for the most part, admitted that they're doing more than one thing at a time when he said, we are doing research and we are thinking about it. But again, they're not going to get specific on this. They're not going to share with you the survey results that they've done, all of the internal conversations, the branding conversations that they've had. They're not going to share that. They're not going to create a stir over this right now. We'll get more specifics. I promise you we will get more specifics one way or the other in terms of their decision once the stadium path, as I've said, is clear. You know, whether that is D.C. or whether that is Landover. He had a lot to say about that, and I'll get to that in a moment. But you're just going to have to be patient, other than those of you that are only coming back or claim that you'll only come back if Redskins comes back. Redskins is not coming back. It's not. Could he do a better job of explaining the obvious reasons the old name can't come back because they're not so obvious to a lot of you? Sure, he could. He could do that now. He doesn't need to for the stadium situation to be solidified to do that. But I think I've told you what those obvious reasons are. Take them for what they're worth. I think that they are pretty close to spot on. Why? Because I've essentially been told that they're pretty much spot on, the reasons why. And I've said this before. If I bought the team for $6 billion, as much as I am a lifelong, in my DNA, fan, I don't know if I'd bring that back. I know what I would do. I would certainly bring everything back uniform-wise. Bring the old logo back, which has never been discussed as insensitive or racist or anything else. And I would probably go with Washington Football Team and let everybody refer to them as the Skins, as a nickname. That's what I would do. You know, we've seen some of the support for various things out there, and that's where he said that, you know, where's the part of it? He said, the name is one of those things that has a lot of opinions, you know, and this is what's hard for them. And so when they do get around to sharing specifically how much work they've done on this and how much they've learned in looking at this, I don't think one thing's going to change based on my conversations with people in the know, which is it's not an easy issue. And the reason it's not an easy issue is there's not an easy solution. The easiest solution is of course, Redskins for our family, for the family of fans that have been there that feel this. I don't care about the people who have never felt it. Their opinion means nothing to me and most of you. But it is it's knowing that that's not a possibility, it gets really complicated. Because can you come up with something that is going to make people feel much differently than they feel now? My personal view is doing nothing is worse than doing something. But I do understand that doing something isn't easy, that there's not an obvious solution. You don't start shooting people and killing things, you know, in terms of what you have. I'm not talking about people, unless you have a solution. Smart people have solutions before they rid themselves of something that they have. And the solution isn't presenting itself as super obvious. I personally think what's obvious is you got to move on from what you have, because that's better than still being somewhat polarized over the new thing. Because the old thing have Snyder ties, has Jason Wright and Will Misselbrook ties, and it's not pleasant to most people. I also think you have to bring back the branding that makes us feel like we're watching our team. But I also recognize this, and this is sorry for those of you over the age of 45 years old or 40 years old. There is the idea that us, that our group, we don't have the lifetime value to them that people under 40 have. And while there are plenty of people under 40 where this is a big issue, it is much more plausible to believe that you can turn them into lifelong, you know, money-spending fans, because they've got much longer to turn it around. You know, so look, they may say at some point, we've done the analysis, and to be honest with you, if we don't get certain people back following the team because of this, it's okay, because they don't have much more spending or lifetime value for us like somebody who is 18 or 21 or even 29 or 30 years old is. You know, and also they may feel like grabbing that independent voter, you know, the person that hasn't made up their mind about who their favorite football team is but lives in the DMV, that they can get them and they provide more value. By the way, the dumbest thing, and we've just got to stop talking about this, and it comes from everywhere. It comes from media people. It comes from some of you. This whole idea of, don't you understand what's important? Every reasonable thinking human being who is involved in following this understands that winning is number one. So stop trying to act smart by saying, don't you understand that winning means more than anything? Yes, of course. But we can multitask. We can think about more than one thing at a time. Don't you understand that the stadium? Yes. All of these things are important. Want to see them succeed and excel in all of these things. Anyway. All right. So there was a lot about the stadium. And I thought we learned a little bit from him. I think some of this was easily hunched or guessable, but there are about four different questions here that I want to play the answers to. It started right from the jump, asking him to give any updates on the RFK bill, you know, in the Senate and the relocating of the stadium. Here's what he said.
Obviously, not a lot of things done to the stadium here, but there was news in the past week. The city contracted with a consultant to work on maybe getting you guys back to RFK. Can you give us an update on where things are stadium-wise?
Yeah, we're working like super hard, right? I mean, it's taking up a lot of my own mind space to find our next home. But and as you know, we have conversations going with multiple jurisdictions, and not a lot really to say about it per se, other than, you know, as you peel the onion, things get more and more detailed, more and more advanced. I mean, you're aware of some of the things going on in D.C. and the congressional support. We're hoping to get the Senate to buy into that also, probably after the election. So we'll have to, you know, obviously I'll leave it to you all or other pundits to predict political action. But a lot of good stuff going on and very positive, but not a lot to share.
Yeah, there's not a lot to share because of this RFK site bill in the Senate. So there's a follow-up question to the focus waiting until after the election for the RFK bill. You'll hear the question and the answer here.
Why will that be after the election for you? Why is your focus after the election?
Yeah, I just don't think so. If you look at what's happening in the Senate realistically, and now I'm really getting out of depth, there's not a lot happening, right? Everyone's focused on the election. So this is the kind of thing that would have to be part of a series of bills that would, you know, go through in the lame duck session. So it's not really realistic to think that's going to happen before the election.
Yeah, so what he's saying there is nothing's going to happen before the first Tuesday in November. All right, he thinks it's unrealistic to believe that. But once we have the election, then, by the way, we are in lame duck session between November and then mid-January when everybody gets inaugurated and moved into their new positions after winning office or keeping office. And that's really hard to predict what that looks like. But the best case is that this gets brought up again during this lame duck session, and that is the opportunity here. There's more, though. I think it's Sam who asked this question. Just play number four. You'll hear the question. You'll hear the answer.
Why will that be after the election for you? Why is your focus after the election?
Yeah, I just don't think so. If you look at what's happening in the Senate realistically, and now I'm really getting
that's the one he just played. That's the one we just played, Denton. It's the next one, number four.
If the RFK bill fails, would you commit to another legislative effort to get D.C. on the table, or would you be open to making a decision before that?
Yeah, I think I'm hoping that we can get some action before the change to the next Senate and Congress and administration, because I think that's when, you know, all bets are off. I don't know. The answer is it's very hard to predict what that looks like. So ideally, since we have a lot of stuff lined up right now, it would happen in the lame duck session. But again, now you're really predicting the inner workings of Washington.
Really important answer there. Good follow-up question, too. Just the idea that, you know, would he, you know, if the RFK bill fails, does he move on? And so, and it, meaning if it fails with this particular Congress in the lame duck session, would he wait with the new Congress coming in January of 2025 and hope that something happens? All bets are off. You have no idea who's going to get elected at this point. And so what he's really hoping here as it relates to D.C., and I think this is really crucial, by the way, also, and you'll hear him talk about timing, but if the lame duck session after the election doesn't pass the RFK RFK bill in the Senate, it's going to be really difficult to get D.C. done because you're essentially starting all over with a brand new Congress in mid-January 2025 when everybody goes to work. There's one more here. I think John asks this question. Play number five, Denton.
How firm is that? People throw out the 2030 date for when you want it open. How firm is that? In terms of when you know.
Yeah, it's a target. I think it's a realistic target. I mean, I wouldn't say that, again, like there's, a lot, there's political things that need to occur. There's land zoning, a whole lot of other things. A lot of it is not within our control. So there's no way to predict a specific date, but I think that's a reasonable target.
2030, reasonable target, 6 years from now. 6 years of, you know, six more seasons, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 of FedEx Field. I also think that answer is specific to D.C. you know, lots of political things that need to occur. Yeah, the RFK site bill has to be passed. And then, by the way, lots of zoning, as he said, and a lot of other things. You know, once it gets passed, if it does in the lame duck session, that's not the end of it. That has to happen. If not, D.C. doesn't control the land. But then it's about figuring out whether or not they can work out a deal with the city that is amenable to Josh Harris and the ownership group. And I wonder, the only thing that wasn't asked here that I'd like to know the answer to, I am curious to know that if for whatever reason the RFK site bill doesn't pass during the lame duck session of Congress and they chose to move forward with the current site in Landover, what the date, realistic date to open a new stadium on the property they currently own would be. I would think it's earlier than 2030. I could be wrong. I think he's answering the 2030 date on that being realistic for D.C. I would think it's maybe a year or two earlier for Landover. All right. He talked about Sean Taylor and the intent to build something new to remember Sean Taylor, replacing that hideous, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods mannequin that they had up. You'll hear what he said about that and a few other things from Josh Harris's press conference prior to the last preseason game last night. I would assume, and I think this was on my top 10 list of things that I wanted in my new owner before Josh Harris took over. I think one of the things I said is, I want to hear from him before this season starts, and then I do not want to hear from him again until he's on the podium accepting the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year. I don't want to hear about him. I don't want to hear anything involving him. I want to hear him before the season starts and at the end of the season, which, of course, truth be told, Snyder didn't talk at all in the last 6-7 years of his ownership. It's possible we get a lame duck session, you know, December passing of the RFK site bill, and that creates a lot of news, including, you know, a deal with the city, which then of course he would be speaking. All right, more from Josh Harris on Sean Taylor on potentially DC being a host city for the NFL draft. We'll get to all of that, and then Ben will join us at 12, and we'll attempt to get Ben's thoughts on how this roster looks tomorrow at 4 p.m. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com, the Odyssey app, you should download it. You can take us wherever you want, listen to us whenever you want. This segment was sponsored by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor.
Big day for the Nationals today. Dylan Cruz coming up to the majors, the number 2 overall pick, outfielder, national champion at LSU. He's making his MLB debut. He'll do it tonight at Nats Park against the Yankees, who are in town. Also an opportunity to see Aaron Judge, who's on pace to break his AL home run record that he set 2 years ago of 62 homers. He hit numbers 50 and 51 on Sunday against Colorado. In the NFL, Nick Chubb to start the season on the PUP list for Cleveland, so he's going to be out at least the first 4 games of the season. Fanatics refiled their lawsuit against Marvin Harrison Jr., and this time added Marvin Harrison Sr. as a defendant in the suit. And in Cincinnati, Ja'Marr Chase practiced for the first time this offseason. Still no contract extension, but the Bengals love to see him back on the field. And that's what's trending.
You guys have expressed interest in hosting a future NFL draft here in D.C. I'm just wondering what your vision for that would be and what that could do for football and for the team.
Yeah, I think we're going to get that done. I mean, we're talking to the league about it. It's a question of timing, and it's going to be a few years off. They plan it way in advance. And, I mean, listen, think about the idea of having, and I'm not breaking news here, because it's not done yet, but think about a draft on the mall or whatever and how exciting that would be. For the city of Washington, for the NFL, so everyone sees that, and so obviously there's a lot of complexity to it with, you know, the Park Service, and now I'm lifting the covers a little, but you know, there's things that need to get done. But I think that I believe that it will happen, and it's a question of when. And so, yeah, it'll be great. I mean, it'd be super fun to do that here, and I think great for the country as well, and great for the NFL.
Man, that hosting of the draft has become big business for the hosting cities, the number of people that come into town and attend this. So it would be great for the city. I'd much rather have a parade on the mall celebrating a Super Bowl victory, but these are the kinds of things you have to think about as an NFL city now. Even if you're not an NFL city, you should be thinking about it. If you're wondering, next year's draft is in Green Bay. The 2026 draft is in Pittsburgh. So the first available draft that does not have a location is 2027. So a couple of things here that I wanted to get to. We'll play what he said about Sean Taylor coming up here in a moment. But I thought this was interesting. He was asked towards the end of his press conference if he feels the fan base is more alive compared to past years. Here's what he said.
Hey, Josh, having grown up here, you know, you talked about going to games and, you know, watching this team your whole life. This fan base, people could say, has maybe kind of been asleep or just not as present the last 20 years. Do you feel a sense where you can feel like that fan base is waking up just with the changes you guys have made and the new leadership and Jaden and everything?
Totally. I mean, first of all, thank you to the fans. I mean, we're, you know, way ahead of, I think we've sold more tickets than we had all last year today. And I've been out in the community a lot, and I've, you know, been speaking to people, and literally people cry when they talk about Washington football and the memories that they had. And so it's still there. It was like a little bit sleeping, a little bit dormant. And, you know, there's so many stories that I get told or texted about or any number of ways communicated to where, okay, I just spoke to my neighbor and they just bought season tickets again because they like what you all are doing. And so that's across the DMV. And so our job is to keep delivering for the fan base, keep creating that excitement, keep doing things in a first-class way, keep inviting people in to help us make this happen for the DMV, and obviously supporting the players, supporting the football team. So I do think it's coming back, and you know, I do think that it never went away, but it got lost for a little while.
Yeah, it got big time lost for a little while. And you know, we talked about this time last year, and that is just the idea that the inconceivable happened. You know, Dan is gone, was going to lift the spirits. And that Arizona game, which I attended, the home opener last year, really felt incredibly celebratory. Now, what we saw the rest of the year was a bad football team, home crowds that were dominated at times by opposition fan bases. So I am interested to see what it looks like this year. And we will get an early opportunity in week two against the Giants, a fan base that at least when their team is in it, tends to travel down here. But you know, the next opportunity after that would be Cleveland on Sunday, October 6th. And you've got four games in the book at that point. So a quick start, obviously, they would love to have a quick start. All right, here's what he said about Sean. So if you didn't see the story from over the weekend, they've decided to remove, you know, what they had in that, you know, that glass enclosed, just horrific embarrassment of a mannequin of Sean. And they've commissioned a new statue, and Sean's daughter was on social media talking about how excited she is that the ownership has come to her, Josh Harris, etc. And they've all kind of agreed on doing something more classy in nature. So here's what Josh said when he was asked about it.
Good evening, Josh. Can you share a little bit of the decision to remove the Sean Taylor Memorial and commission a new statue to be built in the future?
Yeah, I think that honoring our alumni and obviously Washington football, the glory of Washington football, But Sean Taylor is particularly important for obvious reasons. And I wanted to make sure that he had a first-class memorial, first-class exhibit. And so we've been working closely with the Taylor family and came to the decision jointly that it was probably time to look for something new. And we'll be considering that over the next season with the family. And so I was, you know, but it's part of a bigger picture, right, which is that in the NFL, I mean, if you're in NFL, the fraternity of NFL players, right? So if I were an NFL player, I would look at, you know, how other – we have an incredible number of people that were really good, and so we're trying to embrace them all, but Sean Taylor in particular.
You know, these things are not inconsequential, the way that they treat players, the way that they treat their alumni. There were a lot of, you know, former players, great players, who avoided this place like the plague for many years after it became clear what kind of organization it was. This is an emphasis, and it should be. The one thing, and I think a lot of us feel this way, I don't want to speak on behalf of a lot of us. I'll just tell you how I feel. I think the Sean thing got crazy. The amount of going to the Sean move got to the point where it was just a bit much. And I will tell you, it was a bit much for some of the alums of the franchise. Because I do think that, you know, while I've always said about Sean's jersey being retired, that it was certainly owner prerogative. And I didn't have a problem with Sean's jersey being retired. But the bottom line is there were a list of jerseys that should have been retired prior to Sean's. I think most of us who have an understanding, a real understanding of the history of this organization, understood that Sammy Baugh was forever the only one officially retired. Bobby Mitchell went next. And then we got Sean before we got Sonny, before we're getting Daryl this year, before we got Charlie Taylor, before we got Riggo, before we got Art Monk. You know, those are the no debates, okay? 9, 28, 33, 42, 44, 49, and 81. Sonny Jurgensen, Daryl Green, Sammy Baugh, Charlie Taylor, John Riggins, Bobby Mitchell, and Art Monk. Those are the no debaters. Okay, then you got a list of, you know, players that you can debate. You know, you sit around with enough people that know enough about the organization, and you can debate Joe Theismann, Ken Houston, Larry Brown, Chris Hamburger, Joe Jacoby, Russ Grimm, you know, Sam Huff to a certain degree. You know, you can debate Brian Mitchell, Pat Fisher, Monty Coleman, you know, Dexter, Gary Clark, Jerry Smith, Doug Williams, you know. But the no debaters, most people that have a long understanding of the organization as fans, as media members, and then players felt that Sean, fine, but not before Sonny, not before Daryl Green, not before Charlie Taylor, not before John Riggins, not before Art Monk. But at some point, owner prerogative, have at it. And so it got to the point where there was just one Sean effort after another. You know, the jersey retirement was hurried, 11th hour stuff, completely botched Seven Ways to Sunday, as we know. And then we got the glass enclosed thing where there was the expectation of something classier, and it turned out to be really hideously embarrassing. I certainly expect this group, look, you could never be sleazier or more low rent than what we went through for 25 years. These guys have a much better grasp on personal and professional decency. So I like the move. And I think it makes sense. And I don't mind them putting it out as a press release to let everybody know, hey, we're gonna fix this wrong from the last group, you know, whether it was Dan or Dan and Jason or Dan and, you know, anybody else. We're going to fix this. But we did have the last group get completely, you know, in a spot in which they just kept bathing themselves in the memory of Sean Taylor. And I don't think that worked for anybody. But I think this is the right thing to do. I think committing to honoring their legends in a first-class manner, which was part of the press statement, is 100% the right thing to do. And I think we can all be comforted by, I think at this point, the obvious fact that Josh Harris and this group are professionally and personally decent. And that's a massive change from what we've had. Ben Standing, we'll talk Final 53 next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.